Turn to Galatians chapter 5, as we continue through this powerful chapter. This morning, we're just going to cover a few verses, beginning with verse 13, chapter 5 of Galatians. I'll read this morning's text. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed or beware lest you be consumed by one another. Part of this next verse. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Again, Lord, as we continue through the book of Galatians, Lord, that you will open our eyes and our ears, that you will open and tenderize our heart. Lord, that your word will find good soil, fertile soil, that you could plant your word. Lord, we submit again to you. Afresh, we ask that you have your way among us. In Jesus' name, amen. In Galatians, Paul, again, talking in the context of freedom, continues on in that context. You know, it's my hope this morning, my prayer, that, you know, the power comes from an atom bomb when you split the atom. Fission, don't they call it? Fission, not fusion. They split the atom. You know, here we got some verses here that's brought freedom to so many people's lives. And Lord, help us understand what you're telling us, you know, as we go through them and open them up and divide them up, that he would release the power that's here for us, you know, to change us, to give us spiritual life and freedom according to his purpose, according to his will. This morning, Paul is continuing to talk about living in freedom in the context of living in freedom, living in liberty. He said, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty. You know, it's a mutual calling. It's for all of us. We've all been called to live in freedom, to live in liberty of the Christian life. You know, we think, well, that's for the minister, or that's for, you know, the priest or the preacher. But notice he says, for you, brethren, it's for all of us to live in liberty. And it's a calling. You know, and the inference is it's our duty to live in freedom. It's our obligation to live in the freedom of Jesus Christ. In the context, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. And do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. To live in freedom, it's a life of spiritual freedom. Again, Christ came to set the captives free. The purpose why Jesus came in our life. The Bible tells us in Ephesians that you who were dead in your trespasses and sins, he has made alive. In which you once walked according to the flesh, according to the, you know, the world, the course of this world, according to the Spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Paul, writing to the Ephesians, says, you know, at one time, you lived under the influence of Satan, and Christ died and set you free. You were a captive of Satan, and now you're a servant of Christ. Set you free. Paul, writing to Timothy, says much of the same. He says, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, that they may know the truth, that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Under Satan's influence, doing Satan's will, Christ died to set us free, setting the captives free. You've been freed. Stand fast, therefore. Paul, now talking in the same context, says, living, you know, in that liberty. For you, brethren, have been called in this liberty, in this freedom, the freedom of Christ. There's a danger that's alongside of this freedom. He says, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty, only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. There's a danger of misusing our freedom. You know, Paul says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are expedient. You know, he's careful what he does because he doesn't want to come under the power of anything, he says. You know, we have been freed by Christ through faith, by what he's done, by his shed blood, by the work on the cross. But Paul brings things into context of guarding our freedom because there's a danger that we could misuse it. We could misapply it. We could live this life after having received Christ, misapplying and misabusing the freedom that Christ gave to us. And Paul's saying, you know, careful. The misuse of this freedom, making the wrong choice. Only do not use this liberty as an opportunity of the flesh. This word opportunity is an interesting word. In the Greek, it means a base of operations. You know, it means the place by which, you know, you set up to go forward. It's as if God has brought us to a pivotal point with his freedom, or a fork in the road. You know, he's freed us, set us free. And with that freedom, he's now asking and imploring, or calling us to the duty of making the right choice and living in freedom. But be careful not to misuse your freedom, Paul. Don't use your freedom, this opportunity, this base of operations, for misuse or an opportunity for the flesh. Peter says much of the same thing. Don't use grace as a cloak for vice. Don't cover up what, you know, God's freed you, but don't cover up your sin in this freedom by grace. You know, Paul in Romans, turn there. We're going to look at a few verses. Turn to Romans chapter 7. In this use of this verb, and chapter 7, verse 8, opportunity. But sin, taking opportunity by the commandment, produced in me all manner of evil desire, for apart from the law, sin was dead. Notice sin took this base of operations, this fork in the road, this pivotal point, and brought Paul into the wrong place. Sin. The misapplied use of freedom. Look in verse 11 of chapter 7. The same word, only uses it different in the New King James. For sin, taking occasion or opportunity by the commandment, deceived me, and it killed me. The usage of this verb, operations, base of operation or opportunity, the misuse of it. Be careful. There's a danger to misuse our freedom. You know, those in the grace camp will say that no matter what you do, doesn't matter. But the Bible doesn't give that inference. The Bible tells us we're responsible for our life even after we've been saved. Though Christ forgives us for our sin, he calls us into a daily salvation and commitment to live holy. Here, Paul's saying, don't use this freedom that Christ gave his life for, shed his blood for, was nailed to the cross for, as an opportunity for us to continue in a life of sin. Don't continue in sin. Don't continue in don't use it as an opportunity for the flesh, Paul says. The Bible tells us why. Because it results in bondage. You remember Jesus said, we've quoted this verse so many times because it relates parallel, so closely to this teaching of our freedom. Jesus said, most assuredly, that's give heed, listen up. Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. Jesus freed us from our sin. Then he tells us, be careful, don't continue to sin, for you'll become a slave of sin. Paul tells us, you know, you've been freed, you've been brought to a pivotal place, to make a choice. He's given you the freedom to make the right choice. Make the right choice. Live in freedom. Turn from sin. Continue with Christ is his injunction. The Bible tells us, turn to 2 Peter. I'm going to look at a couple verses. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 18, speaking of false teachers, for when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure you through the lusts of the flesh, through licentiousness. That means unbridled lust. The ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. Being brought into bondage, Paul said, that's why you're to guard your freedom. You know, don't use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. Because there's an improper use of liberty. And don't let the flesh reign in you. We have a choice. God's freed us to make a choice. We've never been freed before. You know, before one meets Christ or the work of the cross is effected in our hearts and souls, you don't have a choice. You might think you're, you know, free bird, but you don't have a choice. You're really not freed. You're a slave of Satan, the Bible tells us. Captive to Satan. Christ frees us. Now, the Bible tells us, being freed, make the right choice. Do the right thing. Live, make proper use of your liberty, of your freedom. Don't let the flesh dominate or master over you. As Paul says in Romans, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies that you should obey it in its lust. Do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies. Here, Paul says, bringing us to a pivotal point, you know, live in liberty and make the right choices. Don't misuse freedom, but use it properly. We're free to choose wisely. He goes on to tell us the proper use of freedom. He said, through love, serve one another. That's the proper use of freedom. We're free to choose our master. We're going to have a master one way or another. If we like it or not, it doesn't matter. The Bible says that, you know, it gives the principle that nature abhors a vacuum. He sets us free. You know, we're to serve Christ. We're to live for him. We're to engage in this race. We're to live and serve and love. The Bible tells us, you know, if we don't, you know, the flesh will dominate in our being. Sin will dominate. Sin and the flesh will master over us, will dominate our existence. But Paul's telling us, live a spiritual life and live free. Don't use the liberty that Christ extends to us as an opportunity for the flesh. But through love, serve one another. Paul, in verse 6, earlier on, talks about living by faith. Faith working through love. Living in faith. Faith making the right choices. Not misusing our liberty, but using, you know, from our base of operation, choosing love, choosing Christ. Choosing Christ as our master. Living the Spirit life. It's a choice, and now we're free to choose it. Jesus gives us an example. In Philippians, the Bible says, he made himself a servant. Jesus was the freest man that ever lived. And when he was here, he set an example for us. You know, he said, I'm here to do my Father's will. I live according to my Father's authority. This is the greatest ideal and example of freedom given to us that we can contact. Jesus, under the mastership, lordship of the Father. We're free to choose our master. Paul says, don't misuse your freedom. Don't make the wrong choice. Jesus, in another place, Luke says, I have given you an example. On John, we read this morning, I have given you an example that you should do as I have done. As an example, he says, is a servant greater than his master? No. And Jesus serving his disciples, giving us an example. Turn to Luke chapter 22. Jesus speaking about being a servant himself. Look in verse 27 of chapter 22 in the Gospel of Luke. Jesus said, for who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? Yet I am among you as the one who serves. Jesus choosing to serve. Jesus, the example of the most freest man ever to walk on this planet. And how he lived was he served as a servant, choosing to serve. Paul says, hey, make the right choice. You know, you've been freed through the work of the cross. Well, don't use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but make the right choice. Through love, serve one another, just like Jesus did. Paul did. He gives us the same example in Corinthians. He says, you know, though I'm free from all men, I make myself a servant of all. He got a hold of this. Freedom. It's a freedom to follow Christ, to live for Christ. It's a spiritual life that involves serving Christ. Paul talks about, you have a choice. You can live a life of the Spirit, or you can come into the bondage of the flesh. This verb usage of serve in Ephesians, the Bible says, with good will, doing service as to the Lord, not to men, to serve. God frees us. He restores us. What Adam lost, Jesus restored to us. When Adam fell into sin, Jesus died to give us back. By accepting Christ, we're restored. You know, all the way back. You can take yourself back to, I do sometimes. I see myself, hey, I'm back in the garden. I'm free from sin. I'm in fellowship with the Lord. I feel vulnerable. I oftentimes feel scared. You know, I'm here, Lord, vulnerable and open. You know, I think that's what Paul wrote about. He said, you know, with fear and trembling, work out your own salvation. Make the right choice. Because we're accountable for our choices. And here Paul says, you know, don't use the liberty that Christ gave you as an opportunity to stay and continue in sin, to live a life in the flesh. But live a life mastered by Jesus Christ. And it's a choice. Paul tells us we're now free to serve Him. We're free to choose Him for what Christ did, restoring us. The Bible says we're justified by faith because we believe. You know, I stand in grace, therefore, being justified by faith. You know, that word justified means just as we never have sinned. That means we've been restored to the innocence as a child by faith, by what Christ did for us. And now you're innocent and you're free as God looks at you sinlessly. And now Paul says, in that place, make the right choice. Live for Christ. Don't live and use that freedom, that innocence, that restoration is an opportunity for the flesh. But live in freedom. Choose to serve Jesus. There's a warning he comes up with. But it's a choice. A choice to be mastered by the flesh or by love. Through love, serve one another. The Bible tells us why in verse 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. The fulfillment of the law. That's why we're to choose to do the right thing and to follow Christ and to serve Him. To choose to be mastered by love. Because it fulfills God's requirement. See, God imposes a requirement over us. It's an obligation. We have a duty. A duty we owe, the Bible tells us in Romans, owe no man anything but to love your neighbor as yourself. We have a debt to love. We have a debt to live in freedom. And here, Paul talking about why I would choose to serve Christ is because it's fulfilling the law. It's a fulfillment of the law. Not only fulfills the requirement of the law, the demand against me, but it also is fulfilling. It brings satisfaction. You know, in that same verse, Paul quotes, you know, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it's God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. To live according to God's plan and in God's will brings pleasure to God. Bring pleasure to God brings pleasure to you. It's a pleasing, it's an inner pleasure to serve Christ. It's a pleasure that no other service will bring. To live for Christ is the only true freeing lifestyle there is. And Paul says, don't use it as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. It fulfills the law. It also, in verse 6, faith working through love. It's all that matters. This morning we read Corinthians 13. Why would I serve Christ? Because it's the only thing. When all the dust settles and the smoke clears, when all our works are burned up, the only thing that remains is that which was motivated by love. If I'm not properly motivated in my service for Jesus Christ, it's nothing. Paul said it. Yeah, I mean, it's like a clashing cymbal, clanging cymbal, just a sound. It's meaningless. It doesn't matter. It doesn't count. To serve Christ properly motivated by love, that's why you do it, because it's all that matters. It's all that counts. We all want to matter. We all want to make a difference. We all want our life in Christ to, you know, count. And that's the only way it will count, is if we're mastered by love or motivated by love. The Bible tells us to serve one another through love, making the right choice, properly motivated. The only works that won't be burned up. So living, active faith, faith working through love. It's life in Christ. It's our only life, faith working through love to serve one another. But again, there's a warning. And it's interesting how Paul, next to this liberty and this love, brings this warning. In verse 15, he said, if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. He gives this picture of this animal that's attacking another animal, tearing at its prey, and then consuming, actually eating its prey. If you bite and devour one another, that's like letting the flesh reign. He said, beware lest you be consumed by one another. He gives this example as an illustration of destruction, the opposite of life. Remember, Jesus said, you know, of salt that loses its savor. That's the destruction that's, you know, inevitable for one who lives by the flesh, according to the flesh. He said, but beware, if you bite and devour one another, take heed lest you be consumed by one another. The strife and contention. He gives just this one isolated example of the flesh. He later, as he goes further in Galatians, we'll probably get to next week, broadens that example, starts to describe our human nature, our human sinful nature, the works of the flesh. Here he just isolates one point, fighting, bickering, contention, strife. It'll tear you up and consume you and destroy your life. Paul said, beware. You know, again, in the context of making the right choice of living in this liberty, don't make the wrong choice and be mastered by the flesh, deceiving yourself even to the point of destruction. Take heed lest you be consumed by one another. Fighting. Arguing. Which leads to destruction. Turn to Luke chapter 9. Look in verse 54. You remember this? When his disciples James and John saw this, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, just as Elijah did?" That was the time when they were going through Samaria and they weren't giving them any provisions. So, in spite, the disciples said, "Lord, do you want us to destroy them?" And consume them, that same word for destroy, consume one another. You know, Jesus goes on to say, "You do not know what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." What spirit? What masters you? What are you submitting to? Your flesh? What dominates in you and rules in you? Your flesh, yourself, your sin, or Christ and His Spirit? Jesus said, you know, unless, you know, we be born again, the freedom comes, first of all, by being set free, you know, by being born again. You will by no means see the kingdom of God unless you're born again, Jesus said. But Paul here, once being born again, he said, make the right choices to live in freedom. You know, Paul, through Galatians, is talking about the race. You know, run this race. Who has, you know, deceived you? Who has sidetracked you from the race? Who cut you off from the race? You ran well. Who hindered you from, you know, from obeying the truth? Running a race. Paul, and you know, so many places says, a fight, the good fight of faith. As a good soldier of Jesus Christ, do not be entangled in the affairs of this life. You know, as a soldier in a battle, in a war, fight, in a race, run. But that first necessary, you know, step is what's internal, is our own soul. We're to battle for our soul. Our own soul must comply to Christ. For the Bible says, you know, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you. He has to work in me, in you. First, you know, to find the victory over our soul, we must be compliant to Him. We must submit and surrender to Him and His lordship. First, then God will work through us, the Bible tells us. The competition we have in a race is a competition against our own self. You know, the Bible says, you know, the race, run the race. You run to, you know, win over your own flesh, over your own sin. You know, I'm competitive. I can apply this if I try. The competition in me, you know, not against one another, you know, not against each other in the body of Christ, but against myself and my sin and my flesh. Who will dominate in me? The competition to run the race, to win the race. As well as the battle to win the victory. Christ has fought to win the victory. And He tells us to fight, to keep it and maintain it. The Bible tells us to make the right choices. To live in liberty. And don't use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. But through love, serve one another. Let's stand. Set free. You know, sometimes I feel vulnerable. I feel innocent like a child and susceptible to, I'm afraid. You know, I'm afraid of God. I'm afraid I want to make the right choices. I need His leadership. Paul goes on. We're going to elaborate next week, but the next verse he says, I say then, he declares the truth that brings all of this, you know, in context. He says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. To follow Him. You know, the Bible says we call on Jesus often to intervene. You know, to intercede. But the Holy Spirit was sent to contravene. He comes in us to oppose. He's against the flesh. We're to yield to Him and follow Him. If you walk after Him, you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Making the right choices. Walking after the Spirit. Spirit-led life. Lord, help us make the right choice and submit to Him. You know, we can't fool Him. We're all standing, you know, as He restores us, it's as if we're back in the garden, you know, standing there naked, innocent, before Him, accountable, to make the right choice. Lord, help us. Let's pray. Father, we thank You. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You for Your truth. And Lord, the purpose of Your Word, Lord, to set us free. You set the captives free. And Lord, to live in freedom. To live under You, our Master Jesus. Lord, help us serve one another by faith, through love. Lord, cause us to get right and be right, do right according to Your plan. And Lord, we again submit ourselves afresh to You. We thank You for what You've done. We thank You for the example that You give us. We thank You, Lord, for providing the power and the wherewithal to follow through. Lord, we ask that You would seal these things in our heart and You would bring in effect true change in us, Lord, for Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord bless Thee and keep Thee. The Lord make His face to shine upon Thee and be gracious unto Thee. And be gracious unto Thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. God bless you.